Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and I'm very pleased to bring into conversation in this segment Jack Robinson. Rather, he is the CEO of Winslow Management Company, Winslow Green Growth Fund, which has just recently come to my attention, and I'm very excited about the existence of this fund and really excited to be interviewing Mr. Robinson because he has a very interesting green background and a very long CV. So I'm just going to give you the highlights, then we'll jump right in. Jack Robinson is the President and Chief Investment Officer of Winslow Management Company. He has focused exclusively on green investing since 1991. And prior to founding Winslow, Jack, if I can call him by his first name, was an officer and director of Gardenway, Inc., and president of the National Gardening Association, both socially responsible organizations. He began his investment career in the sales, trading, and research departments of Prudential Securities and also serves as chair of Spartech Corporation and as a trustee of Suffield Academy, where he chairs the investment committee. Mr. Robinson also serves on the advisory board of the American Council for Renewable Energy and is frequently quoted by Barron, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, and National Public Radio. And right now here, you're hearing his actual voice on EcoTalk. So thanks for being with us.
Betsy, thanks for including me on KCBS Radio.
And Air America. We're going to have you on both. This is our national show, Air America, and then you'll be on KCBS as well. And
terrific.
Your green roots go back to your childhood. Tell us about your parents. They sound like they were way ahead of their time.
Yeah, my parents brought me up in a little town in southern Connecticut. My father commuted to New York, and my mother spent time helping, trying to keep track of me. But they were very self-sufficient folks. Both grew up with gardens and small-scale livestock. And during a barn raising one weekend, some friends were over, and they said, why don't you write a book about this? This is circa World War II now. We're talking 1945. And they put together a book called The Havemore Plan, which in fact is still in print, and it was all about self-sufficiency, how to do more for yourself, how to compost, how to recycle, how to use solar, and how to garden and can, et cetera. So
this Havemore Plan is not about having more stuff.
It's not about, it's having more with less. In other words, how to be self-sufficient. It's not about, it's more about having more basic things that you need to live.
Wow.
Not more material.
So. And having been raised by these pioneers, how did that influence what you later did?
Well, in a very great way. The book became the genesis behind a company named Gardenway, which you mentioned earlier, which became a over $100 million company selling tillers and carts and everything you needed to have your own garden and garden system and be self-sufficient. And in between my money management careers here in Boston, I was the chief financial officer of this company in Vermont and also sat on its board of directors, and at the same time presided over the National Gardening Association, which you also mentioned. Both of these companies were socially and environmentally responsible, and it was in that time period that I learned that you could be environmentally responsible and not have it adversely impact your bottom line. Now, that was very much an anecdotal experience, but the thought also occurred to me, since I really enjoyed managing money a lot more than managing people, that in getting back into the investment business, why not incorporate an environmental screen into the investment process, using, of course, the other very important business and fundamental research disciplines that are so necessary to be successful as an investor. And that's what I started doing in 1983 when we first incorporated Winslow in Vermont. We started doing some passive environmental screening and then became much more active in it and started doing it full-time in 1991.
And I understand Winslow is the number one small capitalization growth fund of its kind?
It is. For the last 12 months, I think out of 500 or so funds, we're up something like 46%, and I think we're number one out of several hundred. And for the last 3 years, I think we've averaged close to 40%, 5 years close to 17%. And we actually have a 10-year record. We're up on average 21%, which is almost two times that of the comparable indices.
And you have the highest performing mutual fund investing in small companies record. Is that correct?
Correct, we do.
Congratulations. Very exciting. So let's dig down into the questions that our listeners who may be investors or potential investors really want to know about, and that's how can we invest our money in companies that are truly green, deep green, and not just greenwashing?
Well, first and foremost, you can invest with us. If your listeners will visit with us on our website, winslowgreen.com, it will tell them in great detail who we are, what we do, why we do it, and how we do it. And we would suggest as a first step that you at least visit our website and with the understanding that you only need $5,000 to get going with us. Because we've been working at this for 12 years and continuing to try to perfect the environmental research part of our investment process. Now, if a listener is a fairly astute investor, his or herself, is aware of how to analyze companies and management teams and business models, et cetera, they can do that as well and incorporate green thinking into it. But the problem is that in the small cap growth space, which is, by the way, where most of the green companies are today, although bigger companies are getting on the bandwagon finally, that there isn't a lot of public information. It really requires on-site visits, meeting with management, and it's really very time-consuming, but it can be extremely rewarding.
What about alternative energy companies?
Alternative energy is something that we've been involved with for 20 years, actually, and it's a very, very exciting time for alternative renewable energy. The reason it is so is that the technologies, be they solar, wind, fuel cells, biomass, and otherwise, that the technologies continue to get better almost day by day. And by better, I mean cheaper, better, faster. And at the same time, the price of fossil fuels, which fuels most of our energy in this country, keeps going up. As you know, gasoline was only a dollar a couple of years ago for regular, and now it's about $3. And natural gas, likewise, has had a considerably comparable move. So that while the price of fossil has gone up, the cost of alternative renewables has come down. And add to that the fact that green awareness is much higher. We have the balance of payments issue as well as are the whole point about homeland protection and defense, that it's the amount of time and effort going into alternative renewable energy is significantly higher than what it was just 3 years ago. In fact, the growth of this industry, if you look at it collectively, is running at almost 25% annually. And now it's at least a $20 billion industry. That's worldwide, by the way. And wind, for example, is very, very competitive with fossil fuels of all kinds, depending on where you are in the world. So it's a very, very exciting time for alternative energy, which represents about 20% of our portfolio.
Now, I know investors who have looked for socially responsible companies, especially with a good environmental track record, feel good that they're aligning their values, you know, with they're putting the money where their mouth is. But there's always been concern about will these environmentally focused companies or mutual funds really perform as well as their non-green counterparts? I think you're saying that you've proven that, in fact, they can and do.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Betsy. When we first started doing this, we were concerned that we wouldn't do as well. But what we've discovered as we've developed the process, and there have been more investment candidates for us to invest in, that actually a well-managed green company or a well-managed green portfolio should outperform not only its competition in the green or social field, but all other funds, because being green adds value. And frankly, it's all about common sense, and it's all related to the financial aspects of what goes on within a business. For example, if you don't create a waste stream or a Superfund site, you don't have to clean it up. It's not on your balance sheet. You therefore can reduce your risk. If you use recycled products or if you use less of a raw material, you can reduce your operating costs. And lastly, if you have a green product or service that you sell, since most of these spaces today are growth areas, you can enhance your revenue growth. So the combination of less risk, lower operating costs and higher revenues is the basic ingredients of a higher stock price.
Okay, so
it's all good news.
I've been focusing on quality. What about quantity? Are you seeing more companies entering this green sort of area? And that's, I think, the most encouraging development.
It is very encouraging. We've had companies as big as General Electric say that they're going green through their large Eco-Imagination PR program, and to some extent, that's very true. They have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that GE is a party to 123 Superfund sites.
Including the Hudson River.
Right, that's one of them. And also, we have other large companies like British Petroleum doing some green things, and Goldman Sachs saying they are, and even Walmart. So some very large forward-thinking CEOs, really, it's been led by the top of these organizations, are beginning to make some very strong inroads into the green space, and that is very good news.
And I guess the best news is that you can't put the green genie back in the bottle. The more we connect the dots and we as individuals, citizens and corporations and communities learn about what's at stake and that there's alternatives, the more we're going to see this kind of trend continue.
Absolutely. And global warming is a very big problem, and our carbon footprints, we're all going to be learning more about carbon and reducing our use of carbons, and companies that can help us reduce our use of carbons, and also ways we as individuals can do that ourselves.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Jack Robinson, CEO of Winslow Management Company and the Winslow Green Growth Fund. You can find a link to their website at our site, and that's www.ecotalk.net. We'll be right back.